Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We gather together at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, click on the live stream, or you can always click on our YouTube channel and watch our services. For the past 3 weeks, we have been looking at the powerful miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. We have looked deeply into this story. The first week, we were challenged by the fact that Jesus did not come right away when he heard that his good friend Lazarus was sick unto death. Boy, was that a wonderful, powerful sermon. We need to get about a 10,000-foot view and see what God is doing in our lives. We learned that often when we need to get out of the forest for the trees, or take that 10,000-foot view of our problems. While we were waiting, God is working. Remember that message? While we are waiting, God is working. Last week, Jesus challenged us with that powerful, great I am statement. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. They who believe in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That was the question. That's the so what question from last week. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Listen, if we believe this, our lives will show it. What do you believe about the resurrection? That's a great so what question. You can always email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Tell me what you believe about the resurrection, or if you have a question about the resurrection. It's a great question to wrestle with. I would like to tie up some loose ends today with the resurrection of Lazarus and begin a new series next week. Before we go to God's living and life-changing word, let us come to the throne of grace in a moment of prayer. Dear God Almighty, you heal the sick and raise the dead. Come today and heal us of our sins. Free us from our fears. Resurrect us with your love and mercy so that we can walk in the newness of life you call us to walk. Yesterday is history. If we believe, we are forgiven. Help us to live like forgiven people. Amen. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in John chapter 11. We're just going to pick up the end of the story. I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter. Put yourself in that story. But we're going to pick up on verse 38, John 11, 38 through 44. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Well, as I read that scripture, as I mentioned in most of my messages, when you read scripture, try to put yourself in this story you're reading. As I read the scripture, I tried to put myself in this story. What would it have been like to be there when Jesus went to Lazarus's tomb? I told my wife the other day, as I was preparing a memorial message for a friend, I said, I've done a lot of funerals, memorials, celebrations of life in my ministry. I have stood at the grave sites of many dear friends through the years. I have wondered what Mary and Martha thought when Jesus wanted to go to the graveyard and see the tomb. John tells us that Jesus was deeply moved again in verse 38. It's the same word that he used in verse 33 when Jesus was deeply moved and he wept. The Greek is that he, well, we talked about that last week, that when he wept, he was deeply moved. It's like a horse snorting. So like trying to catch your breath, you're so deeply moved. He lost his breath and he was angered at the sight of Lazarus's tomb. Let us just pause and ponder verse 40 for a moment. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Let me read that verse again. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Is seeing believing, or is believing seeing? That is the question. Dr. Harry Ironside used to tell a story of one old man who was a pastor. He was a Scotsman who on one occasion was making his way by foot to a certain church meeting at a free kirk in Aberdeen. On the way, a young theological student overtook him. Also on his way to the meeting, so these two pastors met up and they're walking along, and they had so much in common, they continued on their way together. At lunchtime, they turned aside to a grassy embankment just to eat their lunch, first thanking God for their food. They had an enjoyable conversation. Then, before they started out again, the old man suggested that they each pray, asking God for what they would need for that evening. The young student, well, he was rather embarrassed, but he agreed, and the older man prayed. And the older man had three requests. First, he reminded the Lord that he was hard of hearing, and that if he did not get a seat well up front towards the front of the meeting hall, he would not be able to hear the sermon in the evening. So he asked that a seat be kept for him right up in the front row. Second, he told the Lord that his shoes were badly worn and that he had could hardly even walk in them. They were so badly worn, and he needed a new pair of shoes, although he did not have the money to buy the shoes. And finally, he asked for a place to sleep that night, for he knew no one in the city from whom he could seek a room or accommodations. As he made each request, the old man thanked the Lord in advance for answering them. The theological student, well, he was taken back at what he considered to be the impertinence of the old man, and he determined to check up on him later that evening or after his prayers. That night they reached the meeting hall a bit late. The hall was crowded. There was not a seat left. The student thought, well, we'll see now how much his prayers are answered. However, someone came out and the old man managed to squeeze into a place near the door where he stood with one hand cupped to his ear. Just then, a young lady in the front row turned and saw him. She called an usher and she said, "Sir," she said, "my father asked me to save this seat for him, saying that he'd be here late. I should offer it to someone else. Evidently, he has been detained. Will you please go and offer my seat here in the front row to that old man who has his hand over his ear and is standing just outside the door?" The usher followed the young lady's instructions, and so in just a few minutes, the first request of the old man was answered. "And the time for prayer in Scotland," he said. In those days, some person always knelt in prayer while others reverently stood. The old man was kneeling and the young woman was standing right next to him, and standing thus beside her guest looking down, she could not help noticing the condition of her shoes. Her father ran a shoe store, so afterwards she politely raised the subject and asked the old man if she might take him to her father's store, though it was closed for the night, and give him a new pair. So petition number two was answered. Finally, while in the store, the young woman inquired where the old man was staying that night, and he answered that God had not yet shown him where he was to have a room. "Well," she said, "I think we have a room for you. Reverend Dr. So-and-so was to use our guest room tonight, but he telegraphed to say that he was not coming. Will you use it? The next day, when the theological student inquired how the old man had made out, he learned the answers and found that God is not indifferent to the believing prayers of his people. So my question, we're going to get to Lazarus. My question is seeing believing, or is believing seeing? Jesus told Mary and Martha and the crowd gathered that if they believed, they would see the glory of God. Jesus told them to remove the stone. I love that Jesus looked up to heaven and spoke with God. Reminds me of the old Scottish pastor praying. Jesus thanked God before the miracle ever took place. Jesus said that God always never stops hearing Jesus. The verb for hear is a present active verb, so that the action of God hearing Jesus is ongoing and never stops. The truth be told, God always hears you and me. Let me say that again. God always hears you and me. The prayer of Jesus leads to the moment of the resurrection itself. Having finished his prayer, Jesus called to Lazarus in a loud voice so all could hear. Lazarus, of course, would have heard even if he had whispered, "Lazarus, come out." The story continues by reporting with great understatement, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." What a powerful statement. Put yourself in this story. Jesus says, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings. If you need special prayer, our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can submit your prayer request to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. It's our prayer at The Seed that you will come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're at the tomb with Mary and Martha and all the family and friends gathered there. Jesus is deeply moved, and he says, if you believe, you would see the miracles of God. And then he comes to the tomb, and he says, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Put yourself in the story. Jesus calls out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus comes out wrapped head to toe with grave clothes. Imagine the scene. This really is the true dead man walking. Jesus calls for the people gathered together to come alongside the dead man and remove his grave clothes. No one can raise the dead but Jesus. Jesus delighted to involve the bystanders in the miracle. Don't miss the miracle within the miracle. I think the resurrection of Lazarus is a miracle, but he asked all the bystanders, Mary and Martha, the friends and family, all gathered together. He asked them to be involved in the miracle. Are you in this crowd? First, they were told to remove the stone. Then, after the miracle, they're told to unbind or loosen the grave clothes that Lazarus has and let him go. Well, we cannot bring the dead back to life. We cannot bring them new life, but we can bring them the word of life to others, which really does bring a resurrection. Have you ever thought about that? We can help to remove stones and take off grave clothes. We can help to move and remove stones of ignorance, error, prejudice, despair, doubt, fear, frustration, pain, pride, selfishness, and sin. Let me say that again. Our job as the body of Christ is to help remove the stones of ignorance and errors, prejudices and despair, doubt and fear, frustration and pain, pride, prejudice, and even remove the stones of sin. And after removing those stones, after that miracle, we can help by unwinding the grave clothes of doubt, fear, and and minister to the discouragement and doubt that others have wrapped themselves up in. That's what the body of Christ is called to do. See, this is how we put ourselves into the story. We read the Word of God, and we try to apply it to our lives today. Here's a few questions I get from the story. Who do I know that has wrapped themselves up in an awfulness of sin? Let me pause. I pause there to think about it. Maybe you need to pause. Maybe I don't know where you're at. I don't know who's listening. I don't know your fears, your doubts, your struggles, your sin. But maybe you're there, or maybe you know someone who has wrapped themselves up in the awfulness of sin. So the question comes, who can I help? How can I help? Who needs a word of hope? There's still a million Lazaruses out there today. One thing I love to do is I love to take a moment in the morning and pray. I pray for my congregation. I pray for the prayer concerns that are sent to me. And sometimes I'll just pray, start praying, and the Holy Spirit will say, send a text to so-and-so. Send them a scripture. And I just listen to what the Holy Spirit says, because my job is to be faithful with God's word. So I send a text, or I'll write an email to someone. You know, you could probably send a text to someone with a scripture verse, tell them that God loves them. You could start unbinding the grave clothes. That'd be a powerful, you know, like I said, there's a million Lazaruses out there. God has filled us with the word of life, and we are to bring this word of life to others. The miracle is Christ. But notice in our story, the people gathered, did the moving of the stone, and the unwrapping of the grave clothes. Let me remind you again, the miracle of the resurrection belongs to Christ, but we are called to help remove the stone and the grave clothes. The verb go in the phrase, let him go, the verb go in that phrase, let him go, is a present active verb. In other words, we are to take off the grave clothes and keep taking off the grave clothes, and we're to let them go. We are called to help remove the grave clothes over and over again. We are called to let those who we thought were dead, to let them go. I think of all the people that I know who are wrapped up in grave clothes or trapped in a tomb of sin. Jesus isn't calling me to do it all. Jesus is calling me to do what I can, help remove a strip of cloth. Jesus offers us all this same challenge. A.W. Pink, a wonderful theologian and writer, said, there is no higher privilege this side of heaven than for us to be used of the Lord in rolling away gravestones and removing grave cloths. I love that quote from A.W. Pink. There's no higher privilege this side of heaven than for us to be used of the Lord in rolling away gravestones and removing grave cloths. Lazarus now had a second life. Church tradition offers two versions of what happened to Lazarus after his resurrection. One tradition holds that Lazarus and his sister made their way to the island of Cyprus, where Lazarus was the first bishop of Kition. The Church of St. Lazarus is in the modern city of Larnaca. This is believed by some to be built on the second tomb of Lazarus after he has his second death. This tomb is filled with Lazarus from 30 years after his resurrection. The second tradition holds that Lazarus and his sister made it to Marseille, France, where Lazarus survived the persecution of Christians by Nero by hiding in a tomb. Well, how appropriate is that? One thing we do know, that Lazarus was there the day Jesus came riding triumphantly on a donkey into Jerusalem, what is called Palm Sunday. Was the crowd so super stirred up because they had heard about Jesus raising Lazarus? Put yourself in that crowd for a minute. Was Lazarus going wild with celebration on that day? I love the reading of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which is recorded in John. John tells us that Jesus came into town with shouts and cheers. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Hosanna literally means save us, we beseech you. What a cry. Many in this crowd, well, were at Lazarus's tomb only a few days earlier. They had seen a dead man walking. Most likely Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were in that crowd shouting too. Talk about a parade. I mean, every championship team has a city parade, don't they? The people crowd the streets, the team is paraded through on the fire engines, and the cheering crowd celebrates. Imagine all this takes place when Jesus comes into town and Lazarus is there too. Wow. There's so much to talk about. What could we talk about how Jesus fulfills all those prophecies? So what? So what? Is seeing believing? Is believing seeing? Is Jesus your miracle man? Jesus turned water into wine, healed the sick son of a royal official, helped a crippled man for 38 years to walk again. Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. On top of all those miracles, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days, but 4 days dead. Here's our so what. Here's our so what for today. What crowd are you in today? Will you praise Jesus? Will you protest Jesus? Will you pass on Jesus? Is Jesus your miracle man? Miracles for you in 2022, that's the title of this sermon series. In his commentary on this passage, William Barclay says, we cannot leave this passage without noticing the simplest thing of all. Seldom in the world's history has there been such a display of magnificently deliberate courage as this triumphal entry. And Jesus and Lazarus is there. Our son Brian and his wife Kelly attended a church in Texas that is a very active in establishing churches all around the world. He told us a story once of one of their missionary friends who gave birth to a little boy in Turkey. The boy had many complications, and the major problems facing the baby boy was that he had a hole in his heart. The family took the child to the hospital in Istanbul, and the medical staff there did everything possible. The doctor came in and told the parents there was nothing left to do, and their child was not going to live. The child was going to die. The missionary family called back to their church in Texas and asked for prayer. The prayer concern went out to the church, and one of the members of the church told her boss about the prayer concern, and the boss could not get the thought of the little boy with the hole in his heart out of his mind. The boss's name was Ross Perot, and he decided that he wanted to help. He made arrangements with an airline to fly them back to first class. He contacted the number one heart specialist in Dallas and asked if he could take the case. The heart specialist called the missionary family in the middle of the night and told them that he would meet them at the airport as soon as they arrived. Everyone on the plane that night knew about the circumstances of the missionary and their flight home, and the little boy was rushed to the hospital. And as the last report, he's doing fine. That brings us to the so what question of the message. Are we like the old Scottish pastor who prays? Are we like Mary and Martha who come to Jesus begging for a miracle? Are we like a crowd who did not believe that Jesus could bring Lazarus back to life? Our journey to the cross every day comes with those questions. Do we believe this? Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you would just guide us and help us to believe and believe, see your miracles. Help us to reach out and remove stones and take off the grave clothes. In Jesus' name we pray. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.